Autumn is in the air, the pumpkins are in the patch, and our friends at Manscaped are here to make sure you don't carve your pants, pumpkins, when you're grooming, if you know what I'm talking about. Make sure you're keeping things fresh this fall with the leaders in male grooming and their brand new fourth generation performance package. Boys, get ready for cuffing season like no other. Ready to take the leap into fall with Manscaped? Join the 2 million men worldwide using Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping using the promo code HAYES. That's H-A-Y-E-S. Get to manscaped.com. Use the promo code HAYES. You'll save 20% off plus free shipping. Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4. Brian Hazio, Doug Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Got a Maple Leaf game tonight in Montreal. That's why the O-Dog's in studio. A little studio work tonight for you.
You guys got to come in here one day. We'll just throw back the clock a little bit. We'll do a show from here just once in a while.
Yeah, I love that idea.
I'm supposed to be in there within a couple of weeks, I think. I'm on a panel just like you.
I will say it sucks by yourself. It's
you
like there is this
Brothers?
Massive TV where I kind of feel like I'm in the office where I can see you two guys, but it's not cool like by yourself.
What about Al's brother? Is he staring at you through the glass?
Al's brother just walked in between break and we had a discussion about tonight's game. And I liked and I didn't like some things that came out of his mouth.
Uh-oh. A little face-to-face powwow. This could be the unraveling of the team. You guys see eye to eye when you're not actually physically eye to eye.
Here's what happened. He said to me, you know, I like Dallas, but Philly, tough divisional game, which tells me that he likes Philly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But he's just going to mail it in and say Dallas is at home, Dak's, you know, at home, blah, blah. So we're just going to pick Dallas. I know that's what he's going to say.
Well, they're the favorites, and Al's brother, that's
dude,
all he
dude, you
does.
Be quiet because I know your routine.
See, he's messing with you already.
You
I,
want
I
us
know
to
his
take
routine.
Dallas.
Listen, I want you to take whoever you feel is the right pick. I mean, ultimately, I'm rooting for you guys. I want to see you guys pick up
the 500 for the Ryder Cup. It makes it a big, big selection.
Well, can we review the tape on that? Like, I'm going to pay it off, and it's all good. We had not even established any ground rules, and you just said, I'm on the Americans.
Yeah, that was kind of...
Like, without a flip of the coin,
dude,
it was just, I'm taking the
States.
Review
the tape. You said, who do you like for the Ryder Cup? If, like, 500. I said, the hell with it. I'll take the Americans.
Well, you were adamant the Americans were going to win, and you were right. They won by 10, man. That
they
wasn't even
them.
Close. It was not yeah. even close.
Dude, I can't even tell you how much I loved it. And by the way, this is for everybody. You guys, Hazy, you can come too, but I got invited to the next Ryder Cup at Bethpage Black when it's back in the States. So I don't know what the hell this will look like if I'm even on this show at that time, but I won't be here. I'll be at the Ryder.
So 4 years from now, you've got a premature invitation to Bethpage Black. That'd be a great spot for the Ryder Cup, though, New York.
Dude, can you imagine, though? Those people were getting a little bit greasy with the boos and the comments. New York fans boozing all day with an afternoon match.
Oh yeah, but the Europeans are the worst, man. The Europeans hate Americans, and they all come in from all different countries. Like it's in Rome in 2 years,
dude. I found it so greasy to cheer a bad shot. Like I just, but it's.
But
just,
that's the nature of the competition.
Dude,
I don't
it's the
have
nature
an issue
of
that.
Sports. They're not cheering. It's just the same as when Kevin Durant hurt his leg in Toronto, and people were kind of like. I know for myself, I was like, oh, my God, this helps the Raptors. Like, this is awesome. But it's not the injury that's awesome. It's the possible outcome that's awesome.
Right.
They weren't cheering because he got hurt. They were cheering because they knew their team was going to have a way better chance.
The path towards success.
Yes.
Right.
It widened when KD went down and when someone missed a putt over the weekend or when the Europeans were playing poorly. Which, you know, that team, you just stacked them up. It wasn't even close on paper.
Terrible.
And it wasn't even close.
Dude, Podrick was beside himself.
Yeah, like Patty's got an exit stage left.
Well, like, what the hell enough. Is he going to do? And the next guy, they're going to have to look in a garbage dumpster in England to find a guy to captain that team next. Who's going to want to do that? Are they going to get little Ian Woos them out there again?
Well, I'd like to see Woozy out there. What's wrong with Woozy?
Dude, think about that next Ryder Cup, Cat, to get dummied on home soil by that American team. That's going to be a machine.
Yeah,
well, the American team is solid. Then DJ's a stud. All he does is just win. He's got some poise to him, too, eh? Like, he just – I don't
Moxie.
Even know if that's, like, swagger. He just kind of – DJ,
it's
he knows, man. He
it's
just
swag.
Knows.
Dude, he doesn't even care. He's just like, I'll waltz around. He played every match. He's the oldest guy, and he just dummied guys.
Yeah.
330 down the middle, and then I'm going to stuff it to 10 feet and roll in a putt, and then I'm just going to wheel to the next hole.
Yeah. Paulina is walking around whistling straights. Yeah. He doesn't
Dude,
even,
and he was sauced after that in the presser. Like, I don't know how it happened. Like, they took pics. They did a little presser and then or a little photo shoot. They gave him the Ryder Cup, and he was greased by the time they got to the. But
well,
I love it.
It was over. By the time he was done his match, it was over anyway. I mean, everyone knew where it was going. The Europeans had no shot yesterday, no shot.
Yeah.
So we got Steve Phillips joining us here in a moment. Some crazy NFL stories. We got to get into this with Marcellus Wiley. This Lyle Collins story, the lineman with the Cowboys who tried to bribe the sample collector. And it's just an outrageous story. It's so bizarre that the drug tester shows up. Obviously, Collins is admitting guilt when you're trying to bribe the guy before the evidence is even concluded. Probably something in your system that is not supposed to be in your system.
Agreed.
But you read the fine print on it. Originally, this is the best part. It was 5 games. And then the PA got involved, and his representative, they said, all right, let's relax here. 2 games. So the NFL goes, all right, 2 games. This guy appeals the 2 games, and the arbitrator comes in and goes, oh, I think this should be 5 games. So it reverts back to 5. How stupid do you have to be?
Why would you appeal the 2?
Just a buffoonery. Exactly. You tried to bribe the drug testing collector.
How much
and
do you think
what,
that
you thought
was,
it was less than
he
2 games?
Here's what I want to know. I'm going to tell you my one time I thought about a bribe, and I'll let you guys have one guess who that person would be. And what do you think the amount was offered?
I'll say 100 grand cash.
No, I'm saying 50K cash, and I would have bribed the body fat guy or the scale guy, the guy who's weighing in.
It was the same lady for body fat every time, and I thought about offering $25,000 to write down 8%. I never did it, though.
I always needed to squeak under 10.
I would be so embarrassed if she ratted me out and said, that guy's a fat pig, and he tried to offer me $25,000 to write down 8%.
Imagine if you were 25%.
Yeah. Dude, it wasn't far off.
Here's $1,000 for every percent. She's like, all right, you owe me 32K cash.
Yeah, that's
like,
awesome.
I'm a professional
Dude, I tried
athlete.
To make a comeback. I thought I was 6%. I leave the room and I go, by the way, what was that? I didn't check anything. I just thought I was dialed in. She goes, your body fat was 17%. I almost had a dump in my shorts and quit.
Right.
17%. That was easily the fattest guy in the team, and I thought I was ripped.
How did you think you were 6, though? Like, 6 is...
Because noodles. For 4 months, just salads and running everywhere and jumps, and I was...
That's just delusional, man. You had suspenders on your pants. There's no way you didn't. And those things were just floating in the midsection.
Oh.
That was the best. That's the best hack ever. Is you use the suspenders and just massive pants because you're a sloth. Believe me, I know from my own experience.
Joining us
now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our TSN MLB Jays analyst Steve Phillips. Steve, do you have any stories of your own players trying to bribe someone to get off the hook?
Well, I will tell you this: that I wish I was as fat as I was the first time I thought I was fat.
Yes.
Right? I would sign up for that right now. So we actually had a player who came to, we had sort of a meet the Mets, caravan.
Oh boy.
Prior to the season in January. And we had a pitcher named Brian Bohannon, who was a portly fella. And we had given him a weight to report at. And he showed up at the caravan, which again was like January 20th. And he was going to have to report to camp February 12th, 13th, 14th, somewhere around there. So he didn't have a whole lot of time left. So he ends up showing up to the caravan, and he's 25 pounds overweight. I mean, he looks huge. So he starts making bets.
25 pounds.
He starts making bets with the players that he'll get his weight down and he'll be able to lose the weight he needs to get down for it. And they're like, there's no way, dude, 25 pounds. You're allergic to the gym. There's no way you're going to lose this weight. So he makes the bet. He comes to camp and he's in great shape. He lost the weight and 5 more pounds beyond that. And it turned out that he paid $10,000 for liposuction and pocketed $15,000 from the $25,000 of the bets that he made.
That's actually Bill Gates' level of genius, man.
Liposuction?
Yeah. Lipo and banks the cash. He paid for it, and then he banked the cash. That's brilliant, actually.
Yeah, that's a heck of a move.
That's deceitful, but I kind of like it. With Steve Phillips, our Jays and MLB analyst, we have a game on the show we call Level of Concern. Where you're either not concerned, moderately concerned, or extremely concerned, which would be Nick Cage in leaving Las Vegas, basically. Like, yep. you're in bad shape, which actually is playing out in real time right now, evidently. Yeah. Hyun-Jin Ryu on the mound tomorrow night. If you're a Blue Jay fan, one of the 30,000 in attendance tomorrow night, level of concern he's going to have it.
I'm moderately concerned. I think that the rest is going to do him some good. What I also like is the last time he threw well, it was against the Yankees. It was at Yankee Stadium. He had 6 shutout innings. He threw the ball well, kept hitters off balance, moved his changeup around, pitched inside. So I'm hoping what he has shown in his career is the ability to recover during time off and come back and get it done. So I'm still moderately concerned that he's not going to be able to do it, but I think there's a chance that we may see a guy that gets through the lineup twice and is able to manage the game and give the offense a chance. Now, what would be great is if his buddies could put up about a 5 spot in the first, mm-hmm. just to let him feel like he'd go out there and be confident and aggressive and throw the ball over the plate. I mean, that's the key for him, is he's going to get in trouble against the Yankee lineup if he tries to miss bats. If he goes in there thinking, I better nibble here and nibble there, try to work off the corners, he's going to find himself in a 3-1 count where he's going to have to lay one in there. And Giancarlo Stanton is going to hit it to the moon, which he did over the weekend. Oh, so, it's going to be critical for him to throw strikes early in the count to be able to expand the plate late in the count.
Well, and that's it. Like this heavily laden right-handed hitting Yankee team is – hitting like the 27 Yankees right now. Like, they are crushing baseballs. They've won 6 in a row. They just swept the Sox. They did so in style last night. You saw the 8th. Judge somehow survived it and ends up with a massive double. Stanton hit one all the way back to New York. Like, this is it. This is why you signed him. Ryu, I'm talking about tomorrow night. Like, last year he had a spectacular season. Top 3 in the Cy Young, he was spectacular. This year he has not been, and in the second half in particular, he's really struggled. You go out there and sign him for tomorrow night. And I think it's a defining, really, part of his legacy in Toronto. I think the start tomorrow night, very rarely in baseball over 162 and over 4 years where he's going to start 120 games or whatever, can you find a defining moment? For me, tomorrow night is a defining moment for Hyun-Jin Ryu.
Yeah, I think you're right. And yet, it's not, he's not really been set up to succeed necessarily because of the wear and tear. You know, and I think I mentioned it before, Charlie Montoyo felt like he couldn't risk giving him a day off, but the reality is he couldn't risk not giving him a day off and skipping a start. And so, they pushed the envelope on it because they were chasing, and they overextended him, and he would have been far better with an IL stint, a DL stint in early August, where he could have recovered, recuperated, regained some strength. So we'll see. We'll see what it comes in. But you're right. I mean, this is going to be attached to him. He's not a workhorse. He's not a number one starter. He's not an innings eater. You know, he's a good pitcher that needs to be managed during the season. And I'm worried they haven't quite managed him. And I understand why. I mean, it's just the nature of the season and this season particularly. But, boy, I'm with you. If he can go out there and give what they need, and it would be a huge benefit to him if they give him some margin for error. It'll make all the difference in the world for him.
Well, and we know once you get to the bottom of the first one, George Springer will be the first one up to the plate. And this was a big conversation in the last week and a half, 2 weeks, when Springer was struggling. And he was really struggling. I mean, his numbers in September completely fallen off a cliff. But Montoyo, I think this is Charlie Montoya in a nutshell, the way he handled this and what he said yesterday. He believed in Springer. He believed he'd come out of it. And he said he believes there's a lot of value in a manager showing the belief in their players. And it paid off over the course of the weekend. It looks like Springer's back and healthy, and he looks spectacular in center field. And what do you make of that approach from Charlie Montoya?
Yeah, you know, I think it's interesting, but I think that you know, managers learn how other managers have managed their player. And so when George Springer was with the Astros and they were in the playoffs in 2017, he went through, I think, the first two rounds was like 1-for-27 or something, and he wasn't hitting. And everybody, including me, kept saying, you got to get him out of the leadoff spot. You got to get him in. And A.J. Hinch kept saying, nope, not going to do it. And next thing you know, he wins the MVP in the World Series because he puts together a tremendous World Series and he got hot. And so I think there's something there that he'll figure it out. And the bigger the moment, the bigger his performance. He really has always been a guy that in his career has elevated the level of play in those big games. And so it looks like he's locked and loaded, ready to go. And they need Vladdy to keep on slugging and get things going a bit. And the Gurriel injury is one that's going to be interesting to see how he's able to grip the bat and can he get back in the lineup and what will that look like? Because he was red hot this month. So, you know, look, everybody's dinged up right now. Gurriel had his finger stepped on, and Aaron Judge slid headfirst into second base yesterday and dislocated his pinky, and it was at a right angle. And he did a Mel Gibson from Lethal Weapon and just popped that sucker right back in. So, you know, everybody's hurting a little bit right now. That's the nature of having played 156 games in about 184, 185 days, and you've got six left to try to finish it off.
Steve, who are you most excited down the stretch? I'm sure GMs, they're anxious, but they're also excited to see how some guys perform under the gun. And if you're running the ship for the Blue Jays here, like, who do you want to see perform under these circumstances?
So, you know, it's interesting. It's, as a general manager, this time of year sucks. I mean, it's so painful to watch these games and not be able to do anything. You can't add to your roster. You can't, you know, you can't make a trade. You can't, you know, there's nobody that's coming at this point. You have to sit and watch. You've got no control over it. So when something goes wrong, it hurts. And when something goes right, you just sort of sit and wait until the next thing that goes wrong. But, you know, I tell you what, I have been so overwhelmingly impressed by Alek Manoah. And, you know, I wish he'd work a little bit faster. He works a little too slowly for me. I wish he'd have a little better pace and keep his infield in it. But, man, does he compete. And they have faith in him like an ace. Like, they're treating him like you might see Dave Roberts treat Max Scherzer. You know, he leaves him in these moments where, you know, every other manager is getting a guy out before he gets in trouble, and Manoah pitches through his trouble. I think he's amazing. But I think Robbie Ray squaring off in this series, and I want to see Berríos against Cole tomorrow on Wednesday, which will be a terrific matchup too. And I want to see Berríos elevate his game, and I can't wait to see Robbie Ray in a big game too. So this series is huge for them. And how about this? So the Seattle Mariners play the Oakland A's, who they swept last week, and the Angels. If they win out and go 6-0, and the Blue Jays take 2 out of 3 from the Yankees and sweep the Orioles, and the Red Sox take 2 out of 3 from Baltimore, 2 out of 3 from Washington, and then the Yankees lose 2 to the Jays, and they win 2 out of 3 against the Rays, it's a 4-way tie for the two wild card spots. We could have a 4-way tie for the two wild card spots come Sunday night going into Monday.
That'd be crazy.
Noodle's going to have to explain to you what happens with the tiebreaker situation.
Not a chance. Actually, I was, you know what, just climbing on what you were talking about, where are you with the Cy Young? Like, is it Robbie Ray's to lose? I mean, is it come down to this series kind of? Like, is it that close? I mean, you know, depends on who you talk to and where they're leaning.
Yeah, I think Ray still has the advantage. And so avoiding a clunker for him, I think he comes away with it. What I would have loved is Ray and Cole going head-to-head. Now, the problem is some writers might look at it and think, well, whoever pitches better in this game will get the, and that's not really the way it should be either. So maybe it's better that they're not. But I think Robbie Ray coming out with a big start on Thursday would be a tremendous boost for him. And I think it's his award right now to lose.
Yeah, and he saved himself over the weekend. He had a tough first inning. He was in a jam, and yeah. He put it together. You know, that's what he's been doing all year. If he finds himself in a jam, he battles his way out of it. And I'm with you. I think it's his to lose at this point, and we'll see how it goes tomorrow. We got six games left. You mentioned Seattle. You mentioned Oakland. Naturally, up here, we're more focused on Yankees, Sox, Jays, and we'll see how it all plays out. But they've all got different skeds, some easier than the others. And if you're in Tampa, I guess you're just waiting to punch your ticket, make the playoffs, and then celebrate in Montreal next year, Steve. Like that appears to be the plan.
Yeah, that's just bizarre to me. The whole notion of that, it makes no financial sense, economic, practical, strategic, competitive. I mean, the Players Association has got to be thinking, wait, what? Like, so you want to have a team that actually does what the Blue Jays did for the last 2 years, where they lived out of suitcases for 2 years. That makes no sense. What player, what free agent player would sign up for splitting a season between two teams? And here's the thing, what player's wife is going to agree to that? Because they're going to have to pick up and move the family while the player's playing. There's no way they're going to get players that want to sign up for that.
No, although they don't sign anyone anyways.
Well, they don't, but I mean, here's the other thing. All right, so here's the other part of it. So they can't get anybody down there to build them a stadium to play 81 home dates. How are they going to get somebody to build a stadium and say, hey, you can play 40? So you're going to get a whole – you couldn't get a stadium for a full season. How are you going to get a stadium for a half season? And why would Montreal sign up for half a year from Tampa when a couple of years from now, when they expand, they could get a team that's playing, you know, 160, you know, 80 games at home instead of 40 games? No, it just doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, I know the owner keeps proposing it. I keep thinking maybe there's, you know, it's just smoke and mirrors trying to make it look like he tried everything he could to keep baseball in Tampa. And when he moves, that nobody will hate him. But it just doesn't make any sense.
No, we're having difficulties finding the logistics, you know, working out here too. But it is compelling, I will say that. And there's some Canadian content included in that. So we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. It's going to be a great week. I'm sure we'll do this later in the week. Thank you, Steve.
Okay, guys. My pleasure. Thanks.
There's Steve Phillips, our TSN Jays and MLB analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. It's time to Toyota. Discover your next Toyota hybrid at Maple Toyota. Come see why Maple Toyota is the best place to get yours. Visit Maple Toyota right next to Wonderland.
Stealing my stuff?
How so?
The Montreal stuff?
No, just first you steal my friends, golf with them, and then you steal my materials, my intros to certain things.
Which one was that? The level of concern?
Malls, play it.
Steve, we have a segment on this show called Level of Concern. And if we were doing the segment and Ryu's name came across your desk for part of the segment, what would your level of concern be where he's at right now?
We have a game on this show we call Level of Concern. Hyunjin Ryu on the mound tomorrow night. If you're a Blue Jay fan, one of the 30,000 in attendance tomorrow night.
The scary part is... Scary part, it's about the same guy.
I know, it's plagiarism. I remember you posing. I didn't remember the context of you posing it to Steve. Was it Ryu? I didn't know who you did that to, but yeah, that was pretty much word for word plagiarism.
All right, Brooksy.
But it's not, you know what? That's the scary part, though, is yours. Everyone's still concerned about this guy.
It still applies.
That is scary, Noodles, that it's about the same guy.
I'm Nick Cage tomorrow night. I got to be honest. Because
By the way, we got to get into our boy, Nicky.
This guy's had himself buckled.
He's in a bad place, man. That was in Vegas, too, was it not?
I know. And the lady's like, here's your sandal back. Like, he couldn't even put it on.
He
had bare feet and sandals on.
He had like pajamas on. He was cruising around like a casino or something.
Just buckled. And then
Vegas
he got into it with her too. And then
he
got a little chippy near the end. But yeah, this guy is.
He's a different cat, man. Everything you hear about Nicolas
Cage.
He's a different cat. He won. That was the one he won the Oscar for, was it?
He won an Oscar for it.
Like best actor. Like he is a best actor Oscar.
There's no acting there. There's no it was a best acting.
Do you think he was
Oscar
in real
for that?
Life?
Yeah, for
probably.
That.
Yeah.
Oh,
probably.
I don't know. I don't know how. I mean, listen, the role is what it's a dark movie. Man, is that a dark movie?
It's still one of the.
But it's a quality movie.
It's a great movie. He was fantastic in it. You just, I mean, you hope that was an off night, but it sounds like he gets into it a little bit more than you.
An off night.
Yeah, that one. That one's you're getting pulled on 3 goals on 9 shots.
An off night is sleeping on the couch and forgetting to go upstairs. Not that.
Yeah, this is an off weekend. Like he's had himself. He's in bare feet sitting on a couch.
Yeah, right. He's getting after it.
He is into it.
He's in one.
He's living the part. You know what I mean? Like the movie has come to life.
But don't
maybe
you think
looking
like
for a sequel? I don't.
That's what I'm thinking. Like some of these guys, like I need some a little attention. I'm going to go out and be that character. Like
I don't know.
That's
the one I'm picking. Aren't you picking like Con Air or something? If you're Nicolas Cage, why would you pick that one?
That's true. He's had some great characters.
Yeah,
but that's that one. He played it to a T, unfortunately. Did he end up in the clink that night? Or
I don't know what happened. I mean, in Vegas, it's tough to end up in. Like, usually they're just like, you got to get the hell out of here. You know what I mean? Like, Vegas, books can be written, many, of what staff see at bars and casinos. It must just be outrageous working in Vegas, what that would be like. Like I'm sure there has been a book written based on that experience. Someone is like, I'm going to go live and work in Vegas for a year, and I'm just going to write down every detail and write a book about it. And I'd love to read that book.
But a lot of it is behind the scenes. You couldn't name names.
No, it's not about naming names, but it's just about, you know,
what you saw.
What you saw. Like, let's say you work security at a casino, or even you're a dealer at a casino.
Spearmint Rhino. You work at the Spearmint Rhino, or you work at. You're right.
You're just there. Because
bouncer.
No one pays attention. Like we've all been to Vegas. You're not paying attention to people that work there. You're not rude to them, but it's not. You know, there's just so many people that are working. There's so many employees. You're not paying attention, and you're very liberal in Vegas. You're saying things. You're doing things. You're fired up, and if someone's just standing there watching you. Who knows what they're hearing? Who knows what they're seeing?
Yeah.
You know, there's to be a mole in Vegas, you know, or a fly on the wall
in
Vegas.
And it's all on film, too. That's the scary part.
Everything's on film. Yeah, I don't think I've ever fallen asleep on the couch at the house I'm currently living in, like, and woken up in the middle of the night. I always find a way to get back upstairs. That was my dad's move. He'd wake up at 4 a.m, like, where the hell am I? You're down on the couch. Get upstairs. What are you doing down there? Shutting the mill, falling asleep.
Dude, there is something about the 80s and 90s. Dads had to be woken up and told to go upstairs.
Well, they had
my
their
dad
chair.
Was the Gretzky of it. It was can we watch TV, please? The news is on. We're all sitting here, little kids. We can't stand it, and you're acting like you're watching it. Go to bed.
Yeah,
we had to boot him off the couch every night.
Yeah, you've got to leave the room. You're asleep. And you'll sleep here for 6 hours.
I thought every dad had his chair. Nobody was allowed in it. It was like, that's dad's chair, you know, and it was like a recliner. And my dad had a little sweet tooth, so he was always hiding. They would pull out a licorice out of nowhere, out of like a seam, and just crazy. But that's, my dad had a chair.
Too, but those days are gone.
Yeah, that's a different one.
By the
now,
way, I forgot, there's more elements to that feed, like for a daily routine that I haven't even brought up yet.
That you circled back on last week. Okay, we'll come back to that in the 6 p.m. hour, get more details on it. Marcellus Wiley in about 15 minutes, Bobby Webster still to come, Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Marcellus Wiley in about 10 minutes. I will say, I've never been a fan, even though it's only been, what, like 6 months? And we'll see where this goes in the future of the Seattle Kraken name, the Kraken. But those unis are solid, man.
They're really good.
They're very solid uniforms. Jerseys,
the dark blue
colors.
Ones, yeah, they're dialed in.
They're very dialed in. Like, they're already top 5 in the league, I think, or close to it.
They look fantastic.
I'd have a difficult time spitting out Kraken, though.
Yeah, Kraken, I get it. It's a sea monster or whatever the hell it is, but that one... That's one in 20 years they're going to say, how did we come up with Kraken?
You just said the name they should be, Sea Monsters.
No, that's way worse.
What?
Sea Monsters?
That's worse.
That's a brutal handle.
I don't know. Like, was the Raptors like unanimously loved?
What's worse, Kraken or Sea Monsters?
Yeah, throw that poll up.
Dude,
no, the
sea
Raptors.
Monsters, it goes with Seattle. S, Sea Monsters.
So you're
sea
hogs. You're an alliteration guy?
But what I'm saying
guy?
Is, but when you're like, the Raptors made no sense for Toronto. None. But
no.
It became accepted, right?
Yeah, like, it was because Jurassic Park was out, and that was a big part of it. But, yeah, no, there was no...
It made no sense.
No, it
made no sense. It's still
sense.
Like, very unique, but it's accepted because they're a good organization. Like, I think the Kraken, I don't think you're going to be like 20 years like, what the hell's the Kraken? Like, I don't know. I mean, I kind of like it. I think everything about it is very unique, and I love the uniforms. They looked decent last night. I thought they played a little bit. They had a lot of veterans in the lineup, so it was.
Got to be honest,
they wanted to win.
Wasn't high on my to-do list.
Yeah, they wanted to win.
Play
in Spokane too. That was Vancouver didn't send a lot of guys down, but it was.
No.
It was good for them. It was. I just wanted to check them out to see kind of how things were moving around.
And they'd be a fun team to track and see how it all plays out. But the color combos are quality.
Yeah.
And it's just good to have hockey back. I was in the rink yesterday. My daughter was taking skating again, first time in a couple of years. September's in the rinks are tough, man, because Shorts guy was in there, and he was so cold.
He
was freezing. Because of COVID, you can't really leave the rink almost. Like, once you're in there with your kids, you got to kind of stay in the rink. Shorts guy will not make that mistake next week. I guarantee you. It'll be parka guy next week.
Wow, for sure.
Yeah.
You need pants. Those rinks are cold.
They're cold. They
too.
Have to be. Yeah, you know it going in, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You know it going in. But if you haven't done it in a while, you're just like, I don't know. I guess we're going in September. We're going to the park afterwards. I'll wear shorts.
Yeah,
T-shirt guy. He was not happy either.
Not much golf left. Tough time for guys that bail out on golf games.
Believe me, dude. You know where I stand. I would do anything. But it's tough, man. You got the kids back at school. I explained it all to you. If it were up to me, I'd be playing at 36 a day if I could, because I'm with you. It's October on Friday. We're a month away.
Yeah, and my course, they punch the greens with these giant holes and a couple, and it's game over after. I think
Basically, you played one time.
It's like Plinko. Yeah. You can't play golf. So
no, it's not. It tee to green, it's golf, and then you're out there, and it's Tam O'Shanter, effectively. All right, Marcellus Wiley coming up. Bobby Webster still to come. More on the Leaf game on Saturday night. Who stood out? Maybe who didn't? What we expect from the game tonight? Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Monday Night Football tonight. Cowboys at home against the Eagles. The Cowboys playing at home for the first time this year. That place will be packed. It'll be hopping tonight. Cowboys 3.5-point favorites as it currently stands. Al's brother and the O-Dog will have their pick into the 6 p.m. hour. But it's been a wild 3 weeks in the NFL.
It has been.
What
great
a win
though.
By the Packers. It's been awesome. It's been awesome entertainment, which is exactly what we expect. And Aaron Rodgers looked good again last night for the most part, especially with 37 seconds to go. He's going nuts on the sideline when Mason Crosby hits that kick. So does he care? I guess he cares. I think he loves his teammates and his coach and winning and playing football more than he hates
right
the front office.
There.
That appears to be the equation. And to chat about it, among other things, we're joined now by longtime NFLer, and you see him on FS1. Here is Marcellus Wiley. Is that an appropriate way of qualifying what's up with Rodgers, that he loves his teammates and the sport enough to overcome his hatred of the front office?
Of course it is. How could you ever doubt Aaron Rodgers' commitment to the game? Look, he could have done a lot better job in the PR department this offseason, certainly, and projecting what his commitment looked like, but never questioned ultimately his commitment to the game, especially when he's between the white lines. It kind of takes me back to when I used to hear about Dwight Howard, who will be a future Hall of Famer despite his highs and his lows. But I remember people used to say things about Dwight Howard like, well, he's only good because he's 7 feet, and he just rolls out of bed, and that's who he is. And I used to laugh because behind the scenes, when you know these athletes and you know how difficult it is to play pro sports, that no athlete ever can just roll out of the bed and not put in work and be successful, let alone Aaron Rodgers, let alone a multiple-time MVP and Super Bowl champion. So I knew once Aaron Rodgers said, I am going to commit, it was a bad situation in terms of the optics of saying you were 50-50 to retire or play, but you were going to be 100% committed to the game. And what happened? Week one, he looked horrible because he was a little late to that commitment compared to years past. And then in the first half of the second week, still a little sputtering. Then Aaron Rodgers activated. And since that point, we got 6 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, over 100 passer rating, and once again, on the MVP pace. we shouldn't question Aaron Rodgers even when he questions himself.
Any concerns about Kansas City and, you know, what's going on there, just for lack of success?
Huge concerns with Kansas City. But I've been on record saying this for a while, and a lot of times you get called a hater or what are you looking at, Wiley? I'm like, look, this is not a dynasty. Let's just start there. They won one Super Bowl. Yeah, they've been to three AFC championship games, but they have one ring. Can you close your eyes and imagine that the Dallas Cowboys win it all this year? Lamar Jackson and the Ravens win it all this year. Dak Prescott and Lamar or any of those type of guys. Hey, the Chargers, just close your eyes. Any of these young, great quarterbacks win it all this year. They will have the same amount of rings as Patrick Mahomes. Like, we got to calm down on all this Kansas City hype. Goodness, their defense is horrible. I mean, horrible. And it's crazy now, it's starting to affect them offensively. They're pressing a little more. Turnovers all of a sudden. And yesterday we saw him run the football effectively, and it still was to no avail because the Chargers just hung around and finally finished that game. So you look at a Patrick Mahomes who's a little more reckless with the football without the full support of complimentary offense, with a horrible defense, you can go out there and put up yards and put up points on this team. It's just that simple. So it's that aura of invincibility that Mike Tyson once possessed. And then Mike Tyson got knocked out by Buster Douglas. And ever since that moment, every other fight that he had was highly challenged and contested because that aura of invincibility was gone. With this defense, I don't care how great Patrick Mahomes is, it's not going to be enough for them to go out there and hoist another Lombardi.
Well, they find themselves looking uphill, man. You got Denver at 3-0. Denver's look good. Soft sked, but still, you're 3-0. Vegas, 3-0. The Chargers should be 3-0. They threw away a game in the second half against the Cowboys last week. And you could look at it. And, again, you play the games, and wins and losses are what they are once the game is over. But I think the Browns should have beaten Kansas City in week one. I mean, Kansas City could be 0-3 at this point. Yet, I have a difficult time looking past Mahomes and betting on Mahomes. So, but I like the Chargers. I don't trust Denver and Vegas yet, I guess is what I'm saying to you, Marcellus, through 3 weeks, 17 games now. We got an extra game to play catch-up here. I'm not willing to sell them down the river, but if you're looking past Kansas City or don't think they'll end up at the top of the division, who will in the AFC West?
Yeah, it's tough, man. We're all creatures of habit, no matter what our loyalty is to that mantra. A lot of people don't want to admit that we're just conditioned beings. So we look at something that is changing in the moment, and we really don't take recognition of it until after the fact. And I think that's why you see the Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs come in, and you automatically think that's a team that's unbeatable, and that's a team that's going to go out there and light it up. But in totality, these teams are starting to realize, like you said, Cleveland had them. Then we certainly know that the Chargers just got them. The Ravens got them despite spotting them 2 turnovers and 7 points. They still went out there and won that game. Chiefs are sputtering, man. It's just we don't believe our lying eyes. So who will win that division? I would say the Chargers. Chargers are the only team that's really played 3 great games and just gave away one. And then the game that they gave away to the Cowboys, let's be real, they gave them 2 touchdowns. That they were taken off the board. The referees took 2 touchdowns away. Yesterday, the referees took away another touchdown, even though, hey, it's a legal shift. It is what it is. And they had to get a field goal. Point is, the Chargers run up and down the field on these teams and get points for it. I think the Chargers, of the 3 games that we've seen from all these teams, have looked the most impressive. I love Denver and what they're doing. I just think maybe offensively they're going to be a little challenged because Teddy Bridgewater plays a little closer to the best than Justin Herbert. But it's going to be a fun division to watch. But I still say the Chargers come out on top.
With Marcellus Wiley, a longtime NFLer. You see him, hear him on FS1. Ben Roethlisberger, man, everything you just said about maybe being a creature of habit and not seeing it until it's over, I think I saw it over last year in the second half, post-Thanksgiving, and now it's just a corpse out there playing, man. Like, he looks terrible. He looks terrible. The Steelers look terrible. Is it too early for a full-blown panic attack if you're Mike Tomlin and a Steelers fan today?
No, it's over. Like, in the sense of not being literal, because he still puts up yards and some points here or there. It's just, figuratively, his best days are behind him, not in front of him. And we know that, and that probably will be literal in terms of summation of his season. You won't see a better Ben Roethlisberger season going forward than you've seen in the past. It just won't happen. And I think the reason is his lack of commitment, whatever level of commitment he had before, is now starting to add up in the moment. It's funny, I've had a lot of arguments with athletes when you're on top, you get away with things. You know, people laugh at your jokes when they're not funny. You're always the most popular guy in the locker room, even though you may have a bad personality. You just get away with things when you're the man. But there is a bill that you're paying. And I think what happens is they keep that bill to the side. They just add up your tab, add up your tab, add up your tab. And then one day out of nowhere, that bill is past due. And there's not a credit card you can put down that could pay that bill. And if you talk about the commitment of Ben Roethlisberger, it's a bill that's past due. It's like, you can lose all the weight you want this offseason, Ben. You can go out there and say, this year I'm finally committed at age 37, whatever it is, 39. Too late, Bill. Too late, Ben. It's time to pay this bill. And that's what's happening right now. You're seeing someone digging in their pockets for lint. Right there as they realize it's all over, man. It's sad to see. I don't know if you guys caught the one play where he threw a pass and literally just fell down like an old person. And it's just like, yo, he's fighting opponents and gravity now. It's a wrap, man. I think it's over.
It is. But what about on the other end of the spectrum, man, where the rookie quarterbacks came in, tons of hype, and it has been ugly early on. Justin Fields got sacked 9 times. 9 times yesterday. And Zach Wilson, if I'm in New York and I'm not a Jets fan, if I were, I'd be praying they pick someone up to play in front of this kid. I don't see how you can continue to run him out there. He's throwing picks. He's getting hit. He's running for his life. The team sucks, and they're going to continue to be terrible. What do you do here? Like, what do you do in New York and Chicago in particular? Because Lance is only going to get whatever. He's not going to play a ton. Mac Jones, I guess they're committed to, and the Patriots, I think, have more talent, although maybe not as much as we thought through 3 weeks. And I think they're due for a spanking come Sunday night with Tom coming off a loss. But what do you do with Fields in Chicago and Wilson in New York?
Yeah, Justin Fields, man, I predicted it. He would struggle. Him and Trey Lance right now haven't shown me enough that they can play in the NFL pocket just yet. Look, Zach Wilson looked amazing in preseason, and Mac Jones beat out a veteran and MVP, Cam Newton. And we know Trevor Lawrence is down there with not a ton of talent, but still has his moments. But at least those guys checked the box for me in terms of pocket presence, awareness, and they could play in the pocket. And they're still struggling, those guys. But Trey Lance and especially Justin Fields, oh, my God, they're in trouble. So I think everyone collectively needs to apologize to Matt Nagy for protecting Justin Fields. Because everyone said, why aren't you starting? We got Andy Dalton here. Play Justin Fields, blah, blah, blah. And I think now we know the answer to that. Matt Nagy was looking out for Justin Fields. He was like, he's not ready. And we all saw that firsthand yesterday. What do you do? It's the same offense that Andy Dalton was running, and running effectively. I wouldn't say efficiently, and I wouldn't say optimally, but I would say effectively. Like, Andy Dalton had a 73% completion percentage. You know where Justin Fields is? Dead last in the NFL at 39. Like, it's just some horrible stats and metrics that says Justin Fields is not ready. So we're in a position where all you can hope for is Andy Dalton gets healthy, and they go back to protecting Justin Fields by starting Andy Dalton. Because I don't see this light turning on that fast. The best offensive lineman you have is a decisive quarterback. And it takes a while for that to click. It took Peyton Manning an entire year. He went 3-13 his first year, 28 picks. Next year, 13-3. It happened fast for the great one in Peyton Manning. Justin Fields has great potential. Hopefully it happens fast, but not in this moment.
No, it doesn't seem like it. And we got a long road ahead of us, man. These teams, they got 14 games left. We'll see how it all plays out. Enjoy the week, Marcellus. It's going to be a fun one. We'll do it again next Monday.
All right, guys. Take care up there, brother.
There's Marcellus Wiley, longtime NFLer. And
Yeah.
It's ugly for these quarterbacks, man. And Mac Jones, like, this week, you talk about hype. This is going to be the most hyped regular season return of my lifetime in the NFL. Yeah, for sure. I mean, Brady back to New England, there's no comparison.
No.
You know, like, in terms of the amount of time he was there. Yeah, Gretzky going back to Edmonton, and there's other, you know, there's other great players who have moved on. Jordan going back to Chicago as a member of Washington or whatever. Montana, I believe he went back to San Fran. But 20 years,
yeah, this
all
is,
those Super all Bowls, those, yeah, crazy, man.
And there's some animosity, too. Like, that's a thing. Like, you know, there's a lot of whispers behind the scenes. So it'll be interesting once they get through it. Like you say, is anybody going to get thrown under the bus? Is there going to be some public comments? Or is this going to, you know, Brady's a pretty good PR machine.
He'll play
machine.
It up yeah. pretty well. He knows, exactly. he knows he wants to protect that market, right? Like, yeah. he's a god there. You don't want to mess with that. He'll play he's going to pass Breeze for the most yards in history as well, which is fitting, just like when Gretzky went back to Edmonton,
yeah.
right, and set the record. That's what, basically exactly. what we're going to see on Sunday night. Hour 3 coming up. The Leafs in action tonight. We'll tee that up. The Jays back in action with the Yankees in town tomorrow. 6 to go. We'll look ahead to that. Bobby Webster coming up as well. GM of the Raptors. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.